faith. And of course, the last couple Sunday nights, been working on a little bit of a series about faith. And we saw what faith was. And then we saw, I believe it was last Sunday, Father's Day, we talked about, you know, good men have faith and so forth. And so tonight we're talking about living out our faith. And it kind of goes along with our sermon this morning. Obviously, we saw that God had a desire for us to praise Him. And then He had some commands for us to praise Him. And he showed us some acts, what He would do if we praised Him and so forth. And then we sang, oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child and to have our sins forgiven, justified, redeemed, and forever reconciled. And so it was about, being a witness, being a light, being an encouragement, being a testimony, all those things that we should be for the Lord. And we saw this morning that, it didn't catch Him by surprise leaving us here in 2024. He knows what kind of situation that the world's in, and He still needs examples. He still needs lights. He still needs us to be the salt of the earth and so forth. And so this is actually, if we have faith, if you're born again and you are a Christian and you have faith, we're supposed to live it out. In other words, let it be seen. And of course, that's found in Luke 8:39. And there's been a couple of people in the Bible. I believe we had one, the maniac of Gadara, we talked about not too long ago, and how that he wanted to just go with Jesus and he wanted to be in the ministry. He wanted to get it done and all that kind of stuff. And Jesus told him, said, no, you just go home for right now and tell what great things I have done for you. And so he was to be there in his community, in his household, and talk about how great God is and so forth. And the missionaries on the back wall, they were commanded by God to go to a foreign country and tell what great things that I've done for you. And then us, we are, commanded to tell everybody that, hey, God is awesome and it's wonderful to be a Christian, and I'm trying to do my dead level best to be the right kind of example that God wants me to be. Why? Because one day I'll stand before Him and give an account of that time since I was saved until I see Him. And so in Luke 8:39 is right along that same line, and it says here, "Return to thine house." And so this Christian and these disciples or followers of Christ was wanting to know, okay, now what? And so it kind of goes hand in hand. If you accept that forgiveness that we talked about this morning, and you become born again, and you realize the fact that you're not going to hell ever, 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 ever again. You didn't go there the first time, but you're not going to have to go to hell. You're going to go to heaven and live forever and ever and ever. And, we ought to be grateful for that. We ought to be, thankful and say, is there anything I can do for you? And that's how we were, that's how we were taught growing up, say thank you. And if somebody does something nice for you, you can try to return the favor, that kind of thing. And so that's what this person was asking the Lord. Okay, now what? What do I do? And He says here, "Return to thine house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And so go brag on God. Go, be excited about what's taking place. And it says here, "And he went his way." So of course he was obedient here. And it says here, "And published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done for him." And so, of course, he was obedient here because he was grateful and wanted to return the favor to the Lord. But he just went home and was, if you want to call it a loud mouth, if you want to call it, some people used to say you've been, with a Victrola needle or something like that. You just blah, 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 you talk. And so nothing wrong with doing that, but let's throw some God in there. Let's throw some Jesus in there. Let's throw some salvation in there and so forth. And then maybe the people that they don't like to talk, they don't, you got to kind of nudge them to get them to grunt and so forth. So that person might be saying, hey, look, you need to be talkative about this subject too. So when we get saved, we don't immediately go to heaven. That would be awesome. If you realize you are a sinner, you say, I am, and I deserve to die and go to hell, and I want to be saved, and I get saved. Okay, if we could just bypass the rest of life and just go straight to heaven, become perfect, and never sin again, that would be amazing. But that's not His plan. He said, no. Return to your house. I want you to come to heaven, and you're going to come there one day. But what I need you to do right now is return to your house and just be excited about it and tell everybody what great things thou hast done. And so then we would think, okay, I can get saved And here at church, we sing the right kind of music. Here at church, we have the right kind of fellowship. Here at church, we tell the right kind of stories. Here at church, we help each other, pray for each other. So if we could just get saved and then 24/7 stay right here, that would be awesome. I don't know if we don't, there's not a shower here, so it would get pretty ripe, and so forth. So we need to go home every once in a while, all right? But that's not the case. Jesus didn't say, okay, get saved and stay 24/7 in church. That way everything will be smooth. You won't ever have any problems. This, that, and other. Nope. We don't get saved and go straight to church and stay there. Or we don't even get to get saved and then stay at home. Maybe like in our bubble. Because our house is our refuge. We control what goes on in there. And we don't let things that would hurt our family come in there. We don't let things that come in there that would be wicked or worldly and things like that. We keep that out of our house. But Jesus, he said, go to your house. And he said, okay. But then he said what he did. He published throughout the whole city and so forth. And so it's our goal is one day it's going to take us years, but maybe knock on every door in Spencer County. And we started down that side, and then we started down that side, and then we'll start branching out, things like that. Why? Because we want to publish throughout the whole city the great things that Jesus has done for us. So we are commanded to publish the fact that we're saved, and we're supposed to publish the fact that we're supposed to get other people saved. Sheep produce sheep. We're his sheep. And so sheep are supposed to produce other sheep. We read that verse this morning, the same commit thou to faithful men, so they can in turn give it to other faithful men, and so on and so forth. So it's our job to publish the great things that God's done for us throughout the whole city and let everybody know, hey, I'm saved. And we're commanded to let you know that you can be saved. And then it says here, and tell them what great things God has done. That's just what God does. He goes about doing good. I mean, he's healed people, he's saved people, he's provided for people, he's done miracles and things like that. Again, we talked about that this morning, that the fact that this church building is here and then the people that are here, that's a miracle of God, it's a blessing of God. And we ought to tell God, our church is awesome. Are we a perfect church? No. But we're trying our best to please God and live for God and come sing with us and come join with us and things like that. And that's what he did. He went throughout the whole city publishing how great things Jesus did. So, a good bit of that when you say, all right, I get it. This man, he went home and then he went throughout his whole city and he said, God is great, God is good, he's done all this thing. I get it. But then we say, all right, I'm going to do that myself. And to the point, we don't see what all the kind of reception that he got. Because a lot of times you go out and you publish that and it's not received well. That's just, he didn't say, okay, you can go out and tell how great things I've done until you get the first door slammed in your face or the first time says, I'm not interested, then you're relieved. No. We got examples of that in the Bible. I mean, they were told, hey, you've put your doctrine throughout this whole town. Now get out of here. And the disciples had to dust the dust off their feet and go to the next town. Because they had published the whole city that Jesus is the only way to heaven and things like that. So a lot of times when you make that decision, okay, I'm going to publicize how great God is and what great things he's done for me, sometimes it won't be received well. Now we ought not get mad. Maybe lapel them up against the wall. I'm going to tell you how good God is. That's not our tactic. He didn't say do that. And so forth. We're supposed to be kind and respectful and things like that. You don't tell them, well, you're going to die and sizzle. It's up to you. We're not supposed to do that, but we are supposed to say how great God is. So it's not going to be received well. Sometimes we have to realize that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. Once you get saved, the Bible teaches that we're kind of like a pilgrim passing through. We're a Christian. We're a light set on a hill, and we're the salt. But we're not of this world, so it's not going to be received as well. Then some, they will, just your presence and what you're saying will convict them. And so they will respond bad. A lot of times when we're in trouble, we lash out. And if we get in trouble, we bark back. So sometimes, the Christian knocks on the door. He looks like a Christian, sounds like a Christian, smells like a Christian, talks like a Christian, and it convicts them. Their grandmother's been praying for them for years, and they're running. And so that conviction causes them not to receive what you're having to say. Well, and then you could just mark this down. Most people will not be as excited about you being saved than you are. And there's been a few saved here lately, and I know some of them have told their relatives, "I got saved. I'm on my way to heaven." They're like, "Good." But, you know, why aren't you more excited? things like that. Now, obviously, I believe if a saved person gets told that, "Hey, I just got saved," they probably won't be as excited as that person, but they ought to be happy about it, and so forth. So we're supposed to publicize throughout the whole city how great things God has done. And so some will ignore us. Some will make critical remarks. Some will scoff. "Oh, the Christians, Bible Bob out here again." That's just what they're going to do. So, but that does not relieve us from going throughout the whole city and publishing what great things God has done. So Matthew 10:32 says this: "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men," so God is saying, "All right, I've told you, go confess me before all the whole city. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, I, or him, will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven." So we have God's guarantee saying, "Hey, he went out today," or "she went out today, and she said, 'Hey, I got saved,' or 'Hey, I'm inviting you to church,' or 'Hey, God is great, God is good, he can help you with your problems,' things like that." Jesus is going to walk over to God, give him the elbow, and say, "Hey, so-and-so's down there running off at the mouth again about you. So-and-so's, they're doing that." And so, you know, again, I want Jesus to go talk to God and say, "Hey, he's bragging on you again. He's telling somebody about you again." I want that to happen. And Jesus promises here that if we'll do that, "Hey, they went door knocking again," or "Hey, they witnessed to a friend of theirs." "Hey, they witnessed to a neighbor." "Hey, they're talking about you. They're giving you all the credit." And God says, if we'll do that, he in turn does that. So, a lot of times I've heard people say, "Well, all you do is brag on God." Like, yeah. Why? Because he's the one that created me. He's the one that saves me. He's the one that keeps me breathing. He's the one that keeps my heart pumping. He's the one that keeps my life. He's the one that's providing for me. He's blessing me, things like that. So, yes. But Psalm 44:8, listen to what it says. "In God we boast." In God we boast. Now, on our money, it says, "In God we trust," right? But this verse says, "In God we boast." Now, we ought not boast of tomorrow, the Bible says. "I can get saved anytime. I got plenty of time." And you're not promised tomorrow. So we ought not boast about tomorrow. Then we ought not boast, like Paul said, "I don't say I've apprehended. I've got this Christian life figured out. I'm super Christian. You know, just follow me. Not as I follow Christ, just follow me and we'll be all right." No, he's not boasting that way about himself, but he's boasting about God. And so right here, Psalm 44:8, "In God we boast," and then it goes on, "all the day long." I mean, all the day long. You know, there's some people, you know, do they ever hush? You know, maybe you got a grandkid like that. "Grandma, grandpa," you're like, "Sweet thing, but do they ever hush?" You know, or, you know, it's bedtime. Right? But the Bible says right there, "In God we boast." So we're supposed to boast about God. And how long? All day long. And then when you go to sleep, you get up in the morning, start it all over again. "Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for life. Thank you for blessing," things like that. And then it goes on to say, "In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever." And then it says, "Selah." In other words, think about that. We're supposed to boast about God all day long. And somebody says, "Hey, how are you doing?" I try to remember to say, "Better than I deserve." Because they usually look at you like, "Huh?" So, yeah, "I should be burning in hell." "Oh, here we go again." Yep, all the day long. Now, again, I don't think you ought to do it to the point that you make them mad, all right? Don't be, you know, antagonistic with it, things like that. The Bible says let all things be done in moderation. So, you know, I'm not just, you know, preach them a sermon 24/7, 365. But when you get a chance to give God credit and boast about God all the day long, think about that. So, how to boast about God, or how to live out our faith, we're going to look at 3 points here, and we'll be finished. So, Roman number one. How do we boast about God, or how do we live out our faith? First thing we do, we clearly identify ourselves. We clearly identify ourselves. You know, you've maybe seen some police shows, and, you know, all of a sudden doors come flying in, and it's like, you know, "Police, you know, police county, you know, whatever county they're from, FBI, CIA, and blah, 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 and they're just screaming out their name. Why? They're supposed to clearly identify themselves. Before they shoot you, they're going to tell you where they're from. Okay? That's just the law. And so forth. And so we're supposed to, if we're going to boast about God, if we're going to live out our faith, we need to clearly identify ourselves. In other words, it ought not be like, what's their angle here? Who are, no, like, clearly. And yesterday, we get those boom, boom, bing, the ring doorbells. We can't answer the door right now. But if you'd like to leave a message, and Brother Dave, he's perfect at this. You know, this is Brother Dave. I'm here with my pastor. I mean, he's, you know, showing me in the, I'm like, hey, in the ring doorbell, things like that. We're from Lighthouse Baptist Church. We're just out giving everybody an invitation. So clearly identify yourself. We had one guy, I think we rang the doorbell and he didn't come. So Brother Dave knocked and you could hear him inside. Quit beating on my door! I was like, okay, this one's going to be awesome. And so we asked him, did you say quit beating on? We're sorry. Things like that. But you got to clearly identify yourself. Now, I'm not saying, I knew some soul winners that maybe took a little bit of advantage of that. This one was like, you know, he'd knock on the door, who is it? FBI. I think that's against the law. But, I mean, he was like fundamental Baptist, independent. I think that's what he said, you know, something like that. He twisted around. Like, oh, my goodness. But anyway, but we're supposed to clearly identify ourselves. I'm a Christian. I know the way to heaven. I can help you. Not me, but I can tell you who can help you. You know, clearly identify ourselves. So it ought not be muddy. It ought not be, are they a Christian or are they not? Are they loving or are they not? Are they caring or are they not? You know, it ought not be the gray areas. Clearly identify, hey, I'm a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here on His command. Clearly identify yourself. We'll look at a couple of verses about this. 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul was very clear. All right, why? Because you Saul or Paul? Okay, so he needed to be very clear. I'm here representing Jesus now. I'm here talking about how to get to heaven now. I'm not persecuting churches anymore. I'm not persecuting Christians anymore. He wanted to make that clear. Since that road on the Damascus where I got born again, I've been changed. Let me just be clear about that. And there were some friends that I had when I got saved and started serving the Lord. I had to be clear. I don't do that anymore. I don't go there anymore. I'm not going to participate in that anymore. Oh, you think about whatever you want to think. But I'm just being clear here. Since God saved me and since I'm trying to please Him with my life and since I realize I'm going to stand before Him and give an account, I've chosen not to do that. Let me just be clear. I don't think I'm better than you. I'm not, you know, again, I'll help you in any way I can. But Paul said this in 1 Timothy 1:12 or 2 Timothy 1:12 when he's talking to Timothy. He says here, for which cause? I'm just going to be real clear here, Timothy. I don't want it to be muddy. I don't want it to be like, what was he saying? For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I'm clearly telling you here, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. I know I got saved. And I know who saved me. And am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him against that day. So Paul was very clear in his motives. He was very clear in how he was going to live his life. And so again, I don't think that that's being rude. I don't think that's being, better than thou, pharisaical. But we can be clear. Jesus saved me. He's going to take care of me. And I'm persuaded that I'm supposed to live like this, do this, say this, things like that. So just being clear, just being upfront. So before we can clearly identify ourselves with others, we've got to be, I guess, clearly identified with ourselves. And the Bible talks about this. So before Paul could say that to Timothy and to everybody else, hey, I'm persuaded. He's able to keep that which I've committed to him. But in Romans 14:5, the second part, it says here, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. So before Paul could go out there and tell Timothy that and tell the rest of the world that, he knew it right here. Okay, and so, to be clear, what do you believe, huh? There's some religions out there. What do you believe? Well, you know, this week we believe this. You know, but flip a coin. Next week we believe this. No. Be fully persuaded. This is what the Bible says. This is what we think. This is what we believe. And so we get it fully here, and it'll be easy to say it out here. So Paul, he was fully persuaded that he was saying, hey, I'm just being clear. And so in being clearly identify ourselves, it comes with, we ought to confess that happily. Confess that happily. I'm a Christian. I got to go to church, like we said this morning. Or I've got to read my Bible every day. Or I've got to tell you about Jesus. Or your blood will be required on my hands. I have to. No, in being clear in our identification of ourselves, we ought to be happy about it. Matthew 10, 32 and 33 says this, whosoever therefore confess me before men, and we've already read this part, I will confess him before my Father which is in heaven. And then it says in verse 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, I will deny him also before my Father, which is in heaven. All right, so we ought to tell people that we're a Christian. We ought to tell people that we can help them be a Christian. We ought to be happy about it. So we ought to clearly confess. Secondly, we ought to confess bravely. Not only clearly, but bravely. Now, that's what you have to do. You have to muster up courage sometimes. Or you have to, you know, you're over in the, you know, in the boxing ring and your trainer's rubbing you on the shoulders. You got this, man. And, well, I'm seeing three of those guys out there. Well, hit the one in the middle. That's all you got to do. All right, and he's trying to encourage you. All right, and so, And so you go bravely out there. That's what Paul did. He bravely told Timothy, and he bravely told everybody else. Why? Because he had settled it in his mind. I am fully persuaded, and I'm going to clearly identify myself as a follower of Christ. I'm happy about that. And not only am I happy about that, I'm brave about that. Why? Because he knew the promise of the Bible. You go, and I'll go with you. You go and I'll give you the words to say. You go and I'll give you the courage. You go and I'll give you the strength. And so that's how we can do it. We can do it, not confess that, hey, I'm identified with Christ just on my own validity. No. But I'll bravely say that I'm a Christian. And I'll bravely say that I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Why? Because I know, just like Paul said, I'm fully persuaded he's going to keep everything that I've committed. He's going to keep that. So I don't make light of it. Where Peter, he battled that. Of course, when he was first starting to follow Christ, man, he was cutting people's ears off. He was just, bless God, brave about everything. But then, come crucifixion time, he kind of backed up a little bit. And he said stuff like, you know, he followed afar off, the Bible said. That's not being very brave. He was an undercover Christian. He was incognito. Nobody knew. He was a secret spy. He followed the far off. And then he even went to the point where he said, I don't know him. I told you I don't know him. And then he cursed and swore, saying, I don't know the man. And so we ought to confess happily. We ought to also confess bravely. So we should never make the foolish remarks. Derogatory. There we go. Remarks about Jesus. Now, so once we're saved, we ought not make those type of remarks. We ought to boast about Him. We ought to, speak for Him and about our salvation, about the way Christians ought to live, things like that. And that's what I've seen people like that. They start growing in their Christian life, and the devil messes with their mind and like, yeah, I'm a Christian, and yeah, I got to go to church, and yeah, I got to live and talk and act and look and all. Oh. We ought not make those. We ought to be brave about it. And he was that. So confess happily. Confess bravely. And here's one. Another one hard to say. Confess engagingly. All right? Confess engagingly. In other words, be wrapped up in it. There's some people that they're just getting into things, whether it be sports or whether it be a hobby and things like that, and they can talk a little bit about it. But somebody that's engaged in it, I mean, they're wrapped up in it. They can talk about it all day long. Christianity, we ought to be engaged in it. We ought to be identified with it. And we ought to be able to talk it all the time. So we ought to confess. The Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. That's how you get saved. So you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Then we ought to make our public profession. We had a few of those a couple weeks ago, or last week maybe, or I think it's the week before, said, hey, I got saved. They made their public profession. They were identifying that I'm a Christian. And then we ought to confess it to the public. I go to Lighthouse Baptist Church. I've been saved for this many years, and I'm excited about it, and I'm brave about it. and I'm going to be wrapped up in it. So when we get baptized, that's by us being identified. Death, burial, and resurrection. And so that's what we do. We get baptized just like a married person wears a wedding ring to identify themselves. I'm married. I get baptized. I'm a Christian. We go to church faithfully. Everybody's sitting out there. I don't know if anybody's going over taking pictures of our tags and things like that and seeing who all's here. But we're all identified as Lighthouse Baptist Church members. We're here. We come in. There's Brother So-and-so. There's Miss So-and-so. I identify. And that's what we do in church attendance. Identify with the Bible. Read it. Study it. Learn it. Live it. We identify with the rule book of Christianity. Identify yourself with the vocabulary, with the appearance, with the work ethic. A Christian ought to have a good work ethic. We ought to be the volunteers at work. We ought to be the ones that help and clock in and do honest work for honest pay. Work ethic. Have the right kind of demeanor. Have the right kind of kindness. That's how we are confessing engagingly. We don't have to say anything that. They see that. So stay away from the things that might cause someone to doubt your position. We're supposed to identify. So how do we live out our faith, or how we boast about God? We clearly identify ourselves. Number two, not only should we clearly identify ourselves, we should completely dedicate ourselves. Completely dedicate ourselves. That was one of my dad's words that he used. Don't do a half job. Okay? And so in other words, he would say stuff like, if it's a job worth doing, it's a job worth doing right. Okay? So I heard that all my life. And that's exactly what this is talking about. Say, hey, Paul, I'm just letting y'all know I'm clearly identifying myself, and I'm also letting you know I am all the way in. I don't have a pinky toe out. I've jumped in with both feet on this Christianity thing. I want to please God. I want to make Him happy. I'm all the way in. And of course, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, we know the first one, very familiar. It says here, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body. In other words, all of it. Jump in. Both feet. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. For what He's done for us, this is reasonable for us to go boast about Him and live out our faith. That's reasonable. Verse 2, it says this, and be not conformed to this world. So the world's going to try to conform you, make you look like them, act like them, talk like them, behave like them. But the Bible says, but be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, where here it is, by the renewing of your mind. The reason Paul could say it out loud to Timothy and to others was because he was fully persuaded in his mind. I'm a Christian. I'm totally dedicated to this thing. It's not something I'm like half-hearted doing it. I'm going to go all the way in. Present my body a living sacrifice, and I'm going to be renewed by have my mind renewed all the time, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we ought to totally or completely dedicate ourselves. So if the Bible says do it, I'm going to do it. If the Bible says don't do it, not going to do it. I'm not going to argue with it. I'm not going to try to get out of it. Why? I'm wholehearted. I'm completely dedicated to boasting about God. Then we see here there are those don't do's. There are those do's. But then there's that, does the Bible say not to? Or the Bible say do? And so there's those, some people call them gray areas. Some people say, well, what do I do about that? I want to be completely dedicated. There's Bible principles for it. 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me. So in other words, once I'm saved, I can do anything in this world I want, and it's not going to unsave me. Now, I may get spankings from the Lord. I may ruin my testimony, but it will not unsave me. That's what the Bible says. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. In other words, that's not the best thing to do. So in other words, if the Bible says do it, do it. If the Bible says don't do it, don't do it. If you're not really sure, maybe hesitate. Maybe that's what it's not expedient. And it says here, all things are lawful, but not all things edify. So in other words, if it makes somebody wonder, is that person a Christian doing that? It's not, they don't know. It's what the wheats and the tares, they look very similar. But God knows. And so this person says, look, I can do this and it won't unsave me. But it might hurt my testimony. It might cause my light to be a little bit more dim. it might cause my salt not to be as effective as it should be. So I'm just going to stay away from it. I don't know of anything in this world that I would not do that for Jesus. I mean, you know, maybe some, you know, we don't know. There's not a thou shalt not. But there's, you know, I just don't know. So if it's going to cause confusion, if it's not going to edify, it's not worth it to me. Why? Because I want to just boast about God. I want to live like God wants me to. Here's another one. 1 Corinthians 8:9. But take heed. Pay attention. Look right here. Take heed lest by any means this liberty. That liberty. What liberty is it talking about? That one thing that's, I can do anything that I want to and it won't unsave me. We're at liberty to do that. I can smoke something, chew something, drink something, take something. I can do all that and I would still be saved. Now again, there would be consequences. God couldn't bless me. And it would be a bad testimony out there. That wouldn't be boasting for God. That wouldn't be living out my faith. That would be sinning. But I could. It says here, take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours, and here it is, becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. So again, there's nothing in this world that I like that I wouldn't give up for the Lord. That I want to do that I wouldn't give up for the Lord. Why? Because there's some people watching me. Just like Paul, you were Saul, weren't you? Yep. But now you're Paul. Mm-hmm. And now you're preaching about Jesus. You're boasting about Jesus. You're going throughout the whole city telling people about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now they're going to watch him. And so, again, there's nothing that important. So how do I do? How do I live out my faith? How do I boast about God? I clearly identify myself. Then I completely dedicate myself. And here's the last one, number three. We categorically, to get a C word there, okay? Clearly identify ourselves, completely dedicate ourselves, and then categorically activate yourself. Categorically activate yourself. And so this is what we'll do a lot of times. We'll say, okay, I'll do this, and I'll do this, but I'm not doing that. And I'm not doing that. So in other words, we categorize things. I'm not scared of that, so I'll do it. I am scared of that, so it's okay. We've got to be in every category. So categorically activate yourself. Jesus says, brag about me. Well, I'm not a talky-talky person. He's got a principle for that. Open your mouth. I'll fill it. I'll help you. And I've seen people that, I mean, they were, I mean, literally scared, almost to hyperventilate. But they gave out a track. And they were like, I made it. I'm still alive. I didn't just pass out. And they're like, oh, okay. And so they get involved. And again, I know everybody's not going to be a preacher and everybody's not going to be, you know, somebody that runs off the mouth all the time. But we've got to look for those opportunities. So categorically activate yourself. So God has something for everybody to do. And God wants everybody to be a witness of some sort, whether it be pass out a tract, come visit my church, hey, talk to my preacher, whatever, just witness. And you also have a good testimony, that's witnessing to your neighbors. They saw you this morning, get in your car and come to church. You were witnessing going down the road. There goes a Christian. And then you got in your car to come back tonight. There goes a good Christian. They're going back on Sunday night for some more. All right. And then, you know, Wednesday night, yep, there they go again. You're witnessing categorically. You are witnessing by going to church and being faithful, things like that. And then something said, you know, this is a neighborhood. Well, so-and-so, they're not coming to that. Why? Because they're Christians. And there's going to be alcohol there, and there's going to be this. And so you just mark it down. They're not coming. That is a witness. So we see, we categorically activate ourselves and be a good witness, be an example. A couple things here, what this calls for. If you're going to categorically activate yourself, it calls for a clean life. A clean life. Again, Bible talks about that. God doesn't want to use a dirty vessel. He wants to use a clean vessel. Again, if you've ever, I think I've told this story before, but my wife, I was working on something in the garage. I asked her to bring me some, back then it was sweet tea. Now I've passed over to the unsweet tea. But anyway, I asked her to bring me some sweet tea. She came out, set it on the workbench. I'm down there working. I reach up, grab it. I mean, take a big old gulp, gulp. And stuff was hitting my teeth. Okay? So that was the last time I had sweet tea out there in the garage weeks ago, and it had stuff floating on top of it. And I was like, all right, so praise the Lord, I got the good stuff and drank it. So God doesn't want to use a dirty vessel either. So Romans 14, 15, and 16 says this, "But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably." And it says here, "Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died." Verse 16, let not them your good be evil spoken of. And so, of course, there's that principle in here that if this man, you know, thinks this day is this way and this man thinks this day, they just don't talk about it. You be fully persuaded in your mind. And then there were some back in the day that, you know, some didn't eat meat. And praise God, that was under the law because I like pork. Amen. And so anyway, but now, you know, but if somebody didn't, I wouldn't say, bless God, you come to my house, you eating it. Porky pig is being served, all right? No, don't kill them with that. And so if we're going to be categorically activate ourselves, don't be a jerk about it. Don't force the issue. We ought to have a clean life. In other words, they see our clean life, they see our consistency, they see our kindness. Let that be the witness, not, bless God, you better eat that meat. Don't let it be evil spoken of. Next, if we're going to categorically activate ourselves, it calls for a prayer life. In other words, you're going to have to pray and know when to say what. If that person's going to get offended, I want to be careful. Because the Bible talks about that a brother offended is hard to be reached. All right? So, and then I believe the Bible says, "Remove thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he so hate thee." So, we're commanded to do all this. Be a witness and be an encouragement. Be a light. Be the salt. But we don't have to be a jerk about it. We have a clean life and we can have a prayer life. Lord, you give me opportunity. Lord, you give me the words to say. Lord, you give me the demeanor that I need to have. So we see here, activate yourself in the matter of prayer. So in other words, say, God, I don't want to go in my own strength. I want your touch. That's how to do it. That's a prayer. God, I need your guidance. Where to go, who to talk to, and when to say it. God, I need wisdom. God, I need power. God, I need your protection. Somebody might stick a dog on me, or somebody might, you know, get mad at me. I need your protection. So it's a matter, it calls for prayer. We're going to categorically activate ourselves. We're going to have to pray about it. We're going to have to pray for our family. Again, if you have lost loved ones, I know that's a hurtful and a heavy thing. So God, please save them. Please help me to be the right kind of testimony. Don't let me be so forceful. And Lord, help my family. Help our friends. Help missionaries. Help the lost. We're supposed to pray about those things. So this also calls for a witnessing life, a clean life, and a witnessing life. And so Jesus said, "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." So we have been chosen, just like Jesus was chosen to come to earth to tell us about the gospel. Now we've been chosen, since he's went back to heaven, to carry on that conversation about the gospel. So it calls for a witnessing life. And lastly, it calls for a concerned life. The devil would want us to be apathetic. Hey, I'm saved. That's all that really matters. I'm going to heaven. Well, God wants us to be concerned. Concerned with pleasing God. Concerned with our testimony. Concerned with reaching the lost. Concern with standing before the judgment seat of Christ one day and giving account. So we need to live out our faith, and we do that by just going around boasting about God. Oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian. And here's my closing statement about faith. Faith is not believing that God can, but believing that God will. That's faith. All right, we know God can do anything He wants to, but we have faith in God that God will use me as a witness. God will use this church as a lighthouse in the community. God will. Not only do God can, but God will. And so we ought to say, hey, I want to clearly identify myself. I want to completely dedicate myself. And I want to categorically activate myself. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll have Ms. Sharon and Brother Harris come and do an invitation. So let's all stand. And I'll have a word of prayer, and they'll have a song for us. And if you'd like to come pray, the altar is open. If you need me to help pray about anything, just let me know. I'll meet you down there, and then you can pray right there in your seat. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you.
Lord, again, we thank you for a wonderful day you've given us. And Lord, I just ask you to help us, Lord, to keep that song in our heart. Oh, it's wonderful to be a Christian. And Lord, I just ask you to help us to be excited about the fact that we get to live for you and to serve you. And Lord, we do thank you for our church. And Lord, again, obviously it's not about us, it's about you. And so I just ask you to help us to live in a way that would be pleasing to you. Altar's open. Brother Harris, lead us in an invitation song.